There's a lot of things in this old world that just do not make sense. Like why there's so few believers on the firing line, while so many others sit the fence. But if you want to know where the Word of God stands, and believe it wants to use your feet and hands, and it's time to take your faith out of the seats and into the streets, and come along with me. If you'll only look, then you will see on WCN TV.
Hi, friends. Pastor Mike here with you for this episode of WCN TV. Thank you for joining us. And while you have a second, text your friends and your family. Tell them to join us here on WCNTV.net for this conversation with David Howard. The book is The Silent Church is Watching America Die. Let me give you a little bit of background so you know who David is. And by the way, David and I have been friends for several years now, and he's appeared on other platforms of mine, and this is his first time on WCN TV, and I think you're really going to appreciate what David has to say. But David served as a Montana state representative and senator from 2009 to 2022. He is a minister, founder of Foxhole Ministry, creator of the national radio program, The Voice of Truth's Wake Up Call, which is broadcast daily in 22 states. And David, that's how I actually found out about you, because The Voice of Truth's Wake Up Call airs on our station here, Calvary Chapel of Lima Station, yes. WTTP FM. And I thought, I like this guy, because I used to listen. It would come on every morning as I was going to work. And I thought, now this guy is speaking some truth I can get behind. David's a reasonably known speaker, presenter of educational topics such as the culture war and Christianity, theology of liberty, Christ in politics. He's a certified fraud examiner, expert witness. He holds a master's degree in public management from DePaul University, a bachelor's degree in criminology from California State University of Los Angeles. And I know, although I don't see it here, I know that you served in the FBI as well.
Yes,
for a while.
Yeah.
And some of his other books, The Christian Art of Verbal Chess, that's a very good book, and you can get that. There's information on that on David's website, Attack on Christianity and the Story of Eternal Life. David, welcome to WCN TV.
Thank you
very
much.
It's good to have you here. So we decided the first question out of the gate was going to be, what made you decide to write this book? Now, for me, if I had to answer it, I'd say, well, that's because this is right up your lane. This is your wheelhouse, and folks will understand that once they hear this. But tell us, what inspired you to write this one?
Well, all of us know that, you know, the Lord kind of speaks to us in sometimes mysterious ways.
Yes.
He usually speaks to me for some reason at about 3:30 a.m. in the morning. And as my ministry is Foxhole Ministry, I write blogs about, probably a couple a month, okay? And I put different topics in there, and then I use those topics and I study them. And it's very interesting that one morning at about 3:30 in the morning, I literally woke up, and I literally, at that moment, I had the chapters lined out and the ending. And then I kind of got up, turned on the coffee, and walked into my little office and didn't start writing, jotting down. But it was really unusual because of the fact that I could see the picture of this book. I could just I could literally see the chapters. And I had to get online and go back and look at my blogs that I had done out and start pulling them out and putting them in order.
Yes.
And that's how this book came about.
Yeah. I call that receiving a download from the Lord. He speaks to us so clearly that the best thing for us to do is to get up, go, and start writing things down as he's impressing them upon you. Well,
yes.
The layout of the book is very good, and we're going to cover some of that in our conversation today. And we want to save time to get to, because this is, listen, friends, this is just not just a book that bewails the condition that America is in. This is a book that actually offers answers. Amen. Aren't you glad about that? Don't you like it when somebody says, hey, here's some solutions. Here's some things that we can actually do to make a difference, to maybe even change the direction or the course that this nation is heading in. So right off of the bat, you tackle the 800-pound gorilla in the room, in my view, and that's wokeism. It has just invaded America, and I like the fact that you call wokeism a religion, because that's exactly what it is. It has its own it has its own structure, it has its own sacraments, it has its own high priests. I call them the diversity, equity, and inclusion officers that are all over state and federal government, and well, with the exception of Florida now, since Florida said we're not doing that nonsense anymore. But wokeness, you describe it as a religion, and as really Satan's religion. Yeah, tell us about that, Dave.
Well, it's masquerading as politics. You see, one of the things is that happens to you when you serve in the political realm, like I did for 14 years. What happens is if you start realizing that the demonic aspect of that is prevalent. I've never felt the spirit of the Antichrist any more deeply than literally on the House floor in Helena, Montana, as we were debating a bill. One time I literally had to get off the floor, walk back into a little side room where they used to have payphones, but there was no payphones in there. And I got into one of those booths and had to pull out my cross and literally start praying, because I could feel the spirit of the Antichrist. It was so, so deep. And the thing is that when I wrote this, Satan's Woke Religion, you look at what's happening to the Christian church in America. If we say something that is a little bit political, we end up apologizing about it. But you see, what we don't understand is that all evil is anti-God, anti-Christ. And just because Satan calls evil politics, I mean, does that get Christians not to expose it? Because every one of us should know that the most powerful thing in the world is the Holy Spirit of God. And if you believe the written word, you realize that in Acts 8, Christ is giving us the power to speak the word of God. Or speak the truth of Christ. All truth comes from God. And we're supposed to speak that into darkness. As Paul was told on the way to Damascus, you're supposed to attack the darkness. And because it's through the spoken word of God that the Holy Spirit takes over, and darkness has a chance to come to the light.
Yes.
And what's happening in America today is we don't see this wokeness, this politics, because Satan is masquerading as politics because he's conned Christians into not speaking about it.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the most glaring examples of that is the government taking upon itself the right to define what God has already defined. And of course, I'm talking about marriage.
Okay.
defining it as something that is anti-biblical, and it's really anti-Christ. It's another manifestation of the Antichrist spirit, I guess I should say. So well, and folks, I don't see this religion slowing down anytime soon, especially if the church just remains in the background and not saying anything. And and one of the strangest things, Dave, is that some in the church say, "Well, I'm not going to speak against it because love is love." Isn't that the most illogical, biblically speaking, thing you've ever heard?
Well, you know, on that very subject, you know, I just did a couple of Voice of Truths on God is love, right? Mm-hmm. Well, the problem with what Christians do is they think that's all God is.
Yes.
My goodness. God's a warrior. God's strong. God's bold. He creates strategy. He speaks into things and moves mountains. I mean, when we do things, what we do sometimes, I don't know, it's almost like we use Christian ease to keep ourselves from doing anything that is really productive for God. I mean, how many Christians don't know that, you know, in my ministry, what I've tried to do is make it simple. But it's kind of like this. We come to Christ, we receive salvation, we go to the Word of God for what reason? So we can be armed with the armor of God, and we can become disciple makers.
Yes.
And then in that knowledge, we know full well that when we become disciple makers and we start speaking truth into darkness, darkness will attack us.
Yes.
But the wonderful thing is, when darkness attacks us, in the Beatitudes, Christ blesses us. Every one of us should be trying to get darkness to attack us, because there's nothing better than a blessing from God.
Yes. Well, that is probably a way of looking at a perspective that some Christians haven't thought about in a long, long time.
That's exactly right. And I could, you know, if we had more time, I could give you an example where on the House floor, actually on the Senate floor, one of the far left liberals started talking about, didn't know why Republicans were against abortion because the baby wasn't alive until it was born. Well, I get up and say, well, if it wasn't alive, you wouldn't want to kill it. And oh, you should have seen the Democrat side yelling and screaming and wanting me to apologize. So I grabbed the mic and stood up and I said, I will apologize. I'm just really sorry you can't take the truth. Yelling and screaming and more. I mean, but what was I doing? I was speaking the truth of God right into evil.
That's right.
Yes. That's what it was.
Yes.
Amen. And I had articles written about me and all kinds of things, but I got a blessing.
Yes. Praise God. Amen. So you've got a chapter in here too on, what Satan wants us to believe is the underpinning or the foundation of all this politically. Again, Satan is hiding his strategy behind politics and the current facade that Satan wants us to believe is responsible is socialism.
That's right.
Socialism. Boy, well, go ahead and talk about that, Dave. And I just, one of the things that I'm alarmed about, and then I'll let you speak, is the percentage of young people who have been swayed by this demonic masquerade that socialism is going to make life better and fairer for all. Mm-hmm. What do you say?
See, what the world doesn't know, and here's where the church can, I think, can play a great role. You see, we as a church, we don't speak about the isms. I mean, if you want to get a surprise sometime, look up the word ism. ism is a discriminatory term. Communism, fascism, socialism. And you have to look at, if you have to just be a little bit of a history buff and look at, see when any of the isms actually produced what they're telling us it's going to produce. Mm-hmm. You see, it's kind of like humans. We are told by Christ to judge the fruit of other people. Well, I did 20 years of violence in the workplace consulting, and I can tell you there's one determinant that will give you an indication what people are going to do in the future. It's what they've done in the past.
Yes.
Okay. We don't realize that the socialist, the Marxist, that ideology, the wokeism religion has been taking things like history out of our education. Mm-hmm. Well, the thing is if you want to take somebody's rights away from them, deprive them of America's history, and they won't even know they've lost them.
Yes.
You see, so socialism is a facade. It is the religion of Satan, and it is where man tells you what your rights are. In our country, we have unalienable rights, God-given rights. These are rights that come from God.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So one of the ways that they're doing that, and this is something that President Trump stood against, and I believe he actually put the dampers on it. Of course, then when Biden got in, they accelerated that, and that's the 1619 Project. Mm-hmm. That I'm sure you're familiar with. That is nothing more than a complete rewrite of American history.
That's right.
To denigrate the founders and to denigrate anyone who believes in a constitutional republic. And by the way, wokeism and socialism, this is where all of the pejoratives such as white supremacy, white privilege, all of these things come out of critical theory, which is behind socialism and communism, mm-hmm. To try and marginalize and then overpower other constituents. So it's really about a power grab, political power grab, isn't it, Dave?
It is. But when we look at Satan, look at how simple it is to see their technique, okay? Christ said Satan from his very nature he lies. Mm-hmm. And he's trying to steal, kill, and destroy. What is kill, steal, kill, and destroy? That's power and control. Mm-hmm. So there is nothing the left says today that's not a lie.
True.
And the whole motive is to take control of your life away from you so they can control it. Mm-hmm. Everything from electric vehicles to the climate facade to all of those things is to take power and control away from you. Now, you see, what most of us as in the Christian world don't understand is they are advocating groupism. If you're not part of the group, then you're outside the group. They don't understand. Most Christians don't understand that the wonderful thing about Christianity is it's all about the individual. Liberty is individual freedom. When Christ said he brought liberty, that's individual freedom. That's the ability to have a conscience, to think, to plan. And freedom's the ability to do it. And socialism, communism, fascism takes that away. And it puts it in the hand of the government. And they only give it away if they think it's a good idea.
Yeah, if it benefits them, right?
If that benefits them. I mean, a lot of people don't know that during World War II, when American troops started going into Germany, they kept plastering this on the side of the walls and stuff. And they thought it was a message for the GIs. And they would say, what does that mean? It says, the state is everything, you are nothing. That was a message to the Germans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's right.
Yep. Scary.
Yeah, it absolutely is. And of course, that also explains, we won't labor this point too much, but that also explains why the founders, in their brilliance, determined that individual rights, the Bill of Rights, was very important. Private and personally owned property is very important. You will not find that in any socialist nation, any communist nation. Private property rights are non-existent. The state owns everything, which is what, by the way, wasn't it Klaus Schwab that's trying to sell that? You'll own nothing and be happy about it?
That's right. Yeah. You own nothing because they own you.
That's right. That's exactly right. It's just flat out in your face Marxist ideology, and most people don't even see it. So chapter three, Dave, I really like this because, you know, early in the book, you say, okay, all this is going on, wokeness, socialism, trying to stampede and steamroll people. But then in chapter three, very early on, you remind people, hey, the word of God is what needs to be spoken loudly and as often as possible, especially in the public square, for the word of God is the very power of God for salvation. Mm-hmm. And that is what, listen, it doesn't matter who's in the White House. I really, and this may shock some people, well, maybe I won't say it exactly as I was thinking it, Dave. I'll say it this way. Our salvation is not located in Washington, D.C.
No.
We have got to get busy preaching, teaching, and informing and educating our neighbors. The power of God is still powerful today.
Well, you see, and I think what I'll add to that this way. When you study history and you look at the Jews during Hitler's reign, just look at, like, for instance, in Hungary, they were looking for leadership. They were looking for somebody to lead them. Mm-hmm. Well, you see, we as Christians have somebody leading us. It's Jesus Christ.
Yes.
All right. And very quickly, when you start reading the New Testament, you understand, like I've said, all truth comes from God. So when you look at that, plus the fact is, just how did every one of us come to Christ? Some way the word of truth was either spoken to us or we read it. The Holy Spirit convicted us and we got down on our hands and knees and gave our lives to Christ. And what we're doing is we can't speak into politics. We're preventing those people in that area from hearing the word of God and coming to Christ.
Yes.
I mean, when you think about it, is if we're not speaking that, and we as Christians, we are commissioned to do that. And we're not doing it. And what we're not doing also is we're not even speaking. We're doing things like this. I call them feel-good sermons, okay? Outside the church, hell's going on, and you get in the church and you get a sermon on rest.
Yep.
Are you disconnected? Don't you even know what's happening? I mean, today, people are crying for a leader. And every pastor over, what do we have? Over 400,000 pulpits in America could lead this country out of Egypt, because that's where it's going back to.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And boy, that's a good segue. Dave, I was just scrolling through a social media platform earlier this afternoon, and I ran across a news article that said a certain church, a mega church in North Carolina. I'm going to go ahead and mention it because they did in this article, but it's Elevation Church, which has been off the rails. Well, our producer knows all about that church. It's down there in his neck of the woods, but Elevation Church, Stephen Furtick. So they've went public and said that for Easter, They are not going to mention the cross. They're not going to mention the blood of Jesus. They're not going to mention sin or any of those things. And I thought, and that is why you are apostate. Because why would you refuse to speak the truth about what Christ did for humanity on a day when a whole bunch of people that don't know Christ will come merely out of tradition? That explains exactly the problem with the church today, Dave.
It is. And the thing is this: the church in 1775, when the Revolutionary War was boiling, the pastors knew one thing we seem to have forgotten. They knew that Christians are in charge of the culture. Christians are the ones in charge of the culture.
Yes.
The culture is a Christian culture. Mm-hmm. Okay. I mean, if we had to stand up before God right now and say, and the question is, how is the church doing in the culture you live in? Well, we're miserable failures when you look at what's happening. And why is that happening? I think the reason it's happening is the very thing you said. We're failing to speak the truth of God into darkness. That's the only way darkness can come to the light.
That's right. Yeah, that's exactly right. And it seems to be spearheaded by, I mean, we used to call them liberals. And classic liberalism is not what we're seeing today. That is not true. And now they've adopted the moniker of progressives, which is just another word to define anti, in my view, anti-God. They are anti. Mm-hmm. It is the spirit of Antichrist. Mm-hmm. It's mostly associated with the Democrat Party. But mm-hmm. I have to say these days, there are a lot of folks that if you didn't see the letter behind their name and just looked at their voting record, you wouldn't know the difference.
No, the thing is that we as Christians, we actually think we can go to church and profess Christ and walk out the door and vote for abortion.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. You know, you cannot do that.
That's right.
You are a hypocrite if you do that. Yeah. And the thing is this, that's another reason why we need to speak into politics. I kind of stopped our men's breakfast one morning and I because I asked, why are you apologizing about politics? And it was like, I mean, what you're talking about is evil. What Christian should ever apologize about exposing evil?
That's right. Yes, but, I agree. Yeah, so true. Well, we are going to take a break now, and we have got a video to play. It's a short video. Some of you know that Wisconsin Christian News is holding a conference coming up here in a few weeks. It's April the 12th and 13th in Wausau, just north of Wausau. I think it's Rothschild, I think is the name of the little burg. But here it is. We'll watch this, and we'll be right back with our guest, Dave Howard.
Generally speaking, unruly.
Inflation continues to come down.
And this revolution will come at a breathtaking speed. It will be like a tsunami.
Respect for our laws has been eroded by aggressors who come in battalions to hold us hostage in our own land.
Islamic terrorists have acted just like wild animals going after their prey.
The God of peace will soon crush Satan.
under your feet.
We have to commit that the Bible is the only answer for humanity.
The ecclesia, the called out ones. We have got to grow a backbone.
The highest sex traffic event in the nation is the Super Bowl.
We're in the most intense war in the history of humanity. It's happening right now.
The Wisconsin Christian News Ministry Conference, April 12th and 13th. Come worship with MPK Christian Celtic Band and national recording artist Leighton Howerton.
So let our heaven and nature sing. Let our heaven and nature sing.
The conference will be held at the Stony Creek Hotel and Conference Center, 1100 Imperial Avenue, Rothschild, Wisconsin. Purchase your tickets today at CoachDaveLive.com/events. That's CoachDaveLive.com/events. You can also call 715-486-8066 for more information. See you at the conference. God bless you.
All right, folks, so you can register for that conference at CoachDaveLive.com. And the last I saw from Rob was that there are less than 50 seats available. So if you snooze, how's the saying go? If you snooze, you lose. So get on the site, register for that, and join us in Wisconsin in a couple of weeks, April 12th and 13th. So friends, thank you for staying with us. I'm talking with Dave Howard. The book is The Silent Church is Watching America Die. There it is. Thank you, producer. One of the things that I like about the book, there's a lot of things to like. It's full of truth and long overdue exhortation, and might I even say rebuke to some in the Christian community that, well, they're resting, and not in a biblical way. It's like they've taken a time out from life, and they refuse to engage in what we see happening in our nation today. But one of the things that I like, Dave, is that you conclude the book with 10 strategies that Jesus used to overcome evil. Now that, I have to tell you, when I read that, I thought, well, that's unique because I haven't seen that anyplace. No one else that I know of is writing about that, about these 10 strategies to overcoming evil. So let's talk about those with the remaining time that we have today. Why is it important, first of all, before we even talk about the strategy specifically, why is it important that we learn to use Christ's strategies?
Well, they win. If you want to win, you better use Christ's strategies. I mean, he very clearly, when you start looking at his life, and we know that God is a God of order. Well, you can't be a person of order unless you have a strategy. And you see, the reason I call them strategies is the fact that they're not like 10 points, okay? They're strategies. Christ, he dealt with all kinds of things. I mean, look at the way, like, for instance, Christ was able to speak to people, okay? You look at the way he spoke to Nicodemus. I mean, if you and I would have been sitting there and Christ would say to us, you're a Christian and you don't know this?
Mm. Yeah.
I mean, yeah. Oh, boy, okay. And then... then the kindest way I've ever seen anybody tell somebody they're sinning is the woman at the well. Mm. You know, are you married? She said, no. He said, you speak truthfully. You've been married 5 times. You're living with a man, you know. Yeah, yes, you speak truthfully. I mean, what a just wonderful, right? Mm-hmm. The thing is that then look at the way in Matthew 23, he spoke to the Pharisees. I'm warning you. And why is that? Actually, I believe the reason he spoke so rudely to them is because they were hurting other people. Yes. You see, their whole representation condemned people.
Yes.
And he was upset. Yes. And then you look at today's world, you know, God is loving, you know, God is kind, he's peaceful. And then you read about Jesus and the going in and chasing the money changers out. And in the first three gospels, it's at the end. It's after he comes in and after the Last Supper. But in John, it's before. It's the very beginning. I got a feeling he did it twice.
Yeah.
And then you look that he actually planned it. Now, let's separate ourselves from Christ. Okay, now we're going to plan an event. Dave's going to make a plan to go in and chase people out of this room, and I'm going to make a whip, and then I'm going to come in there like a crazy man, and I am going to overturn these tables. Well, these aren't plastic tables. These are massive tables, and there's money on them, and there's doves on the chairs, and all kinds of stuff, and I'm turning this stuff over. Is all those people going to get their money back? It's going all over every place. I am creating chaos, all right? And I'm beating everybody out of there. But wait a minute. He was violent. Can you imagine that?
That's right. So that illustrates, Dave, to me, a strategy that Christ uses, identifying the enemy.
That's the
first thing. Why is it so hard, Dave, for Christians to say that individual there and what they are promoting, this agenda, is evil, wicked, and it is a manifestation of the spirit of Antichrist? Why is that so hard to say for Christians?
Well, it is, because what we've done is we have put God in this box, okay? And if you're a Christian and you got to fit in the box where you have to be loving, right? You have to be kind. You have to be nonviolent. You can't upset anybody. You can't offend anybody. The problem is God doesn't fit in the box. Neither does Christ.
That's right.
You see? And the key thing is what we're doing is, that's why one of the chapters is, what is the biggest hindrance to Christianity? It's Christians. Okay? It's literally, we have defeated ourselves. And why is that? My goodness, why can't we tell people today that the Democrat Party today stands for everything evil, and they buddy up to Satan? I mean, look at it. Everything from abortion to transgenderism to the open borders. Most Christians don't understand God made borders. Yep. And the fact is that these borders down there are brutalizing the people coming into America. They're brutalizing Americans, and they're stealing children, putting them in sex slaves, and brutalizing them. And what are they doing? They're killing over 100,000 Americans every year with fentanyl and everything they're doing. That's evil. Who is sponsoring it? The Democrat agenda, the Biden administration. That's the truth.
Yes. Yes, amen. It occurs to me, Dave, when you use that, because I hear this all the time from people that said, oh, don't put God in a box. And what they usually mean, the context of that is, don't put God in a box because he can do much more to bless you and provide. He can do much more than, so don't put God in a box. But it occurs to me that in the context of our conversation, the culture has constructed this box, and they've put God in it. So God is only love. He's not justice. God is only kind. He's not wrathful. God is only, and Christians on our part are not bright enough to see that's a box the culture created of our God. We know him by faith in Jesus, but we're living our lives for Christ according to a box that the culture has designed, which completely cuts them off from the truth of God, which can save them.
Well, exactly right. I one of the chapters in the book is I started looking for the character of Christ. So what I did is, of course, you go on to search engines and see what other people have to say because I want to do this. And I'm not finding it. And literally in the evening, I'm reading a book about Medal of Honor winners. And they did a study in 1947 on Medal of Honor winners. And then I'm looking at the characteristics of a Medal of Honor winner, and that's Christ. He was the first, the most important. My goodness.
So on top of knowing your enemy, which Christ did, and he called him out a number of times.
Yeah.
Because he knew that they were an enemy of what God desired for his people to know and experience. The other strategy, or the next strategy, be shrewd, zealous, and remain in Christ. Now, that's important. When you employ the strategies, remain in Christ. You cannot walk in a way that's carnal. And that's right. So talk about that, being shrewd and zealous.
Well, you see, today what Christians do is we have redefined meek as being weak. Okay.
Yeah.
Blessed are the meek. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, truthfully, meek in a situation could be you, because of the Holy Spirit guiding you, you don't commit violence. You actually keep the sword in the sheath. You actually, in a sense, what you're doing is your meekness is power under control. And the thing is this, when you want to be shrewd and zealous, we have to realize we are under attack. And when you read something as simple as putting on the full armor of God, well, what is the offensive weapon? It's the sword of the Spirit, the word of God. All right? So God didn't want you to put on this armor and go to church. You don't need it. You have to go out and you have to be in the battle. So what happens is, you know, you have to know that you don't, you know, what's interesting, I read the other day, and I haven't looked this up, but fear not is in the Bible 365 times. Mm-hmm. Okay. Another speaker said it's there 366 times, because on leap year, it's still there. So you have to know who the enemy is, and then you have to know that you have to go out and you're going to have to get the word of God in it.
Yep.
Yep. Okay. And what are we doing? We have created a, I don't know if you've read the book. It was called The Letter to the Church. And he talked about the German church in the 1933. Well, many people don't know. You go back before that in the 1700s, and the Lutheran religion created a philosophy called Pietism, where because they were against Catholicism and intellectualism. So what did they do? They invited people to church so they could serve the church, so they could come to church and they could be blessed by the church. Wait a minute. How does that make disciples of all nations?
Yeah.
You see?
Yeah.
And we're kind of doing that today.
Yes, that's exactly
so
right.
So being shrewd is you're putting a plan together and you're going to go out.
Yes, amen, amen. Another strategy is unify and stand together. Now, some people are concerned about the lack of unity in the ecclesias today. I'm not as concerned as some other people about that, because I think we're in a time where the Lord is separating the wheat from the chaff. I think we're seeing, and listen, when the Lord identifies the chaff, we just need to move on. There is no unifying with that. That is going to be discarded and burned up, subjected to judgment. So we have to find like-minded believers that are willing to come together and then stand up together, don't we?
We have to not only do that, but I think that we need churches to come together. And way I've explained it to pastors is said, look at what we've done inadvertently is we've created all these us and them churches. Okay. Us is going to heaven and all them aren't.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. And the thing is that we don't understand that Christ said that if you're not for me, you're against me. Now, the key thing is are you for Christ? If you're for Christ, you're against evil. Can't we all get together and fight evil? We all true Christian churches know that it's the Word of God that energizes the Holy Spirit, and it's the Holy Spirit that brings people to the light.
Yes.
Then let's get in there and start organizing so that we can fight evil on that basis. If you want to think once saved, always saved, you want to think that you have to be sprinkled and baptized, you can argue that with God when you get there. But right now we're in a battle. And yes, that battle is against evil. And that evil, if it prevails, it's going to not only destroy us, it's going to destroy our children and our children's children.
Yes, that's right.
So let's get going.
Let's get going. Amen. You talk about another strategy is to use our offensive weapon to expose the enemy's darkness. What is the offensive weapon from your book, Dave?
Well, the thing is this. Let's just show you an example. In Montana, in Billings, Montana, they announced in the paper and on the radio they were going to have a drag queen event at the local zoo. And I'm waiting for the churches to speak out. Silence.
Wow.
And I'm saying, why aren't we speaking out?
Mm-hmm.
And we don't want to cause any conflict. I said, cause any conflict? That really upsets me. Don't you think there's not one John the Baptist in this whole Billings area? There's 100 churches. Okay. What is the first thing John the Baptist did? He caused conflict, mm-hmm. righteous conflict. Well, today, if you want to create righteous conflict, just speak truth into darkness.
Mm-hmm.
And what are we doing? I mean, I've even had a pastor tell me, well, I wanted to protect the church from any adverse things. And I said, well, that's really kind of funny to me. He said, why? It's God's church. You're just the shepherd. I think yes. He can protect his church. Okay. I don't think you have to worry about that. You'd have to worry about one thing. Getting the truth outside the door. In fact, it wouldn't be too bad if you just told the church the truth from the pulpit. Just because this is the key. The drag queen is brutalizing those children with an ideology that will send them to hell.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you care about the children?
Wow.
Well, at that point, they weren't real happy with me.
Because their conscience was screaming at them.
Yeah, that Dave Howard, he's nuts.
Yeah, he speaks too much truth for me.
Yeah, come on. What's going on here?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, how can you be the light on the hill if you shut it off when there's adversary?
Yes.
When there's bad things happen, we just cover it up.
Yep.
Because somebody might know we're here.
Yes. And listen, not only stand up, unite, stand up, speak out against that, but you got to keep the pressure on too, don't you? You can't just make it a one and done.
You have to. Evil has to know you're an unmovable object. Right's right, wrong, wrong. God's God, and you're speaking for evil. We're speaking for God.
Yes. Yeah.
And they're going to come out against you.
Mm-hmm. Like,
what's the downside? Matthew 5:11, right?
Yep.
They ostracize you and persecute you for my sake. I will bless you.
That's right.
My goodness. Doesn't anybody today want a blessing? I don't think so.
Could it be, Dave, do you think that maybe in our modern era, the church's era today, that many Christians don't believe that God will actually bless them when they are persecuted for his namesake?
I think that's true because I can tell you that I learned it by reading the Word of God. I never heard it from the sermon. I never heard it from the pulpit. I never realized that after salvation, they told me I needed to study the Word of God, but I was thinking that was to find out about God, to be a good person, but I didn't know my real assignment was to be his disciple maker. Wait a minute. Now, the reason I'm studying the Word of God is to be a disciple maker, and the byproduct of it is I become a good person. But what are we doing today? We even have, like, for instance, my own church, we have parents dropping their kids off there that don't go to the church so the kids can become good people.
Yeah.
I mean, I think we may have lost what we're here for. How many commissions do we have? I mean, the main commission, isn't it, to go out and make disciples of all nations?
Yes.
And isn't Acts 1:8 kind of showing you how you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes? The power's here.
Yep.
And you will witness me to the ends of the earth. Well, who is me? He's the Word who became flesh and brought truth and grace.
Yes. Yes.
It's just real simple, isn't it?
It's very simple.
But the thing is what have we done? Well, we can't say a sermon that's going to affect anybody that might upset people if we actually said, you know, you got to get off on, you know, as a men's breakfast, and they wanted to say prayers. And every one of the prayers was to help us, but not one of the prayers that they come up with was to get us off our duff and get us out there and make a difference.
Well, that's very revealing.
That's right. We want to pray for our country, but we don't want to do anything. We want to pray for our families. Okay. We want to pray for each other. And what are we doing? We're asking God to do it. Mm-hmm. Well, the Holy Spirit's not the doer. We're the doers. He's the guide, the comforter, to tell us what is to come, and the one that intercedes for us.
Yes. Amen. Amen. And that's, again, Christians are expecting politicians to do what God told them to do, right?
Oh, yeah, that's not a salvation. I mean, Trump will help, but I can tell you the only thing that's turning this country around is a revival, and that's when Christians realize they're in charge of the culture and they're failing.
Yes, that's exactly right. So, folks, what are you going to do about it? Well, first of all, you need to buy Dave's book, The Silent Church is Watching America Die. Foxholeministry.com is the website. There it is. Thank you, producer, foxholeministry.com. Dave mentioned he does a blog, a pretty regular blog. So there it is, Truth Blog. A lot of information there. So there's some resources on that website. There's all kinds of things, including his books. Now, and we had talked, Dave, previously on my platform about Verbal Chess, the book Verbal Chess, which I thought was very well done. It's almost like it'd be a good primer for somebody who's interested in apologetics. It'd be a good book for that.
I have used it a lot in the sense of trying to, how do you speak to somebody and put what exactly, how do you speak life into others?
Yes.
And that's what you want to do.
That's exactly right. And that is life through true faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only life we're talking about here, folks. It's not giving somebody a better life. We got too much of that in the pulpits right now, right?
That's right. You're not going to get rich.
No, not hardly. So, Dave, that's all the time we've got, brother. I appreciate you joining us here on WCN-TV. Folks, again, it's foxholeministry.com. And go out there and contact him on his webpage and tell him you enjoyed the conversation here on WCN-TV. Dave, thank you so much for joining me.
Well, thank you, and God bless everybody.
Thank you, brother. But that's all we have for you today, folks, on this episode of WCN-TV. Please share this on your platforms and with your friends. We'll see you next time. God bless you all.